The title of the workshop is Legal Troubleshooting for Different Projects. And before I say a few words about myself, I'd like to learn a bit more about you and also test out a polling system that will be necessary for this workshop. So, can everyone see the screen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please visit this website. At this link, you'll be able to vote. Like answer the questions that will appear on the screen. In case you don't have internet connection, you'll find details of one network over there, but it's maximally 15 connections. So use your own internet if you have, and you don't try this, but... And let's see if it works. And by this question, I just mean that that you're not necessarily part of like DeFi project, but if you are like interested in this space, you want to work in this space, you are dealing with some problems related to the DeFi space. I don't have. All right, so it's working, right? Does it work for everyone?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. So let's move to another question to you, which is another type of question. Which area of DeFi is of most interest to you? And here you should be able to type a response. Here we have some examples, right? So that will give me a feeling of what's of most interest to you guys. Texas seems like the dominator now. Really cool. Seems like it reflects what are the hottest topics right now. Really cool.
Risk is so small.
No one cares, right? Nice. Derivatives at lending. Absolutely. Right. And the last question to you guys. Where are you based? And here, I rather mean, like, where is your DeFi project based? Right? Or where is, like, your main interest in terms of, like, DeFi activity? So even if you live in Japan but you're working on a US-based DeFi project, vote on the US. I know that for decentralized projects it might not be so easy, but let's like give your best guesses. Okay, here we have counters. It's working for most people. All right, cool. So now a few words about myself. I'm Jacek, and I'm a blockchain fintech lawyer in crypto for more than 5 years. And here you have like a few affiliations. Those at the top are most important ones, I think. So I'm a legal counsel at the Maker Foundation, and also I serve on some industry bodies and some DeFi focus groups, such as the Multi-Chain Asset Managers Association in Switzerland. I'm a graduate of Oxford, and also I got to Harvard Law School, but my assumption was that I wouldn't go there before the multi-collateral die slashed. And it's going to happen next month, so I will be finally to go to Harvard next year. I'm going to launch a blog focused on the legal aspects of DeFi under this address as soon as I have some time. And also, I'm a huge LEGO fan. So actually, the first thing I did yesterday was to go to the local LEGO store to buy some stuff. And an important disclaimer before we start. I am a lawyer, just not your lawyer. Nothing here is going to be legal advice, at least for me. Are there any other lawyers in the room? All right, quite a few. So you guys are free to, you know, give out your legal advice, but nothing what I say is legal advice. And views are my own, right? So I'm not representing, necessarily representing Maker Views right now or any other organization that, that I'm somewhat affiliated with, or LEGO included. So now troubleshooting of some legal problems. So at first, my idea for this workshop was to present you some very specific problems that I think are relevant for DeFi projects, which, like also, which also like follows from my practice. But I thought that like this workshop format it would be a better opportunity for this particular format to actually ask you about some thoughts that you have on the topic. So what's going to happen, I'm going to present you a few more general problems that I see, legal problems that I see in the DeFi space. And I'd like you guys to answer, like ask you about your opinions about these problems and also about possible solutions. And we can also have some discussion around this. So any questions at the moment? This is a workshop, so I'd really like to see some discussion here. Let me present the first one. It's going to be like a test one that I call front-end liability, which is, it seems pretty obvious to me, but let me explain in case it isn't to some of you. You know, even fully decentralized products in the DeFi space, which are, you know, some smart contract-based protocols that are immutable, unstoppable, and so on, they use some centralized frontends to attract users, right? And these centralized frontends are usually some websites, which have some usual domain, centralized hosting. There are some fees collected at this frontend level. There is data collection going on, just like everything that you'd expect from some usual, traditional financial services. When you're visited this website and you're getting some services, you're paying for them, your data has been collected, and so on. And these frontends and the operators sometimes may run into legal trouble because they facilitate access to financial services and products. And I have one specific example. I was trying to provide examples to each of the problems that I'm presenting. You probably know this website, EtherDelta, and you probably know that they were hit by some enforcement action in the US. And when you look at the content of their settlement, it's quite striking that the SEC, the American SEC, it recognizes the difference between the protocol level and the front-end level. Yet in the practice it's really difficult to differently analyze both, right? And it's clear from the language that they're using, right? That they mentioned it a few times that the website, the EtherDelta website, had features similar to online securities trading platforms, right? And they actually listed these features, right? They are displaying the orders, they're sorted by price and color. There is user account information, provided fields to input deposit, withdrawal, and so on, right? They provide all of this information and said, this looks like exchange, right? This looks like securities trading venue. There is no difference from the user perspective. And of course, we all know that there is a certain smart contract going on in the background. Perhaps EtherDelta is not the best example of a totally decentralized product yet. You can see that, especially if there is just a single frontend to the protocol, which is very often the case in the DeFi space, there is a certain problem that from the regulator's perspective, they will not see it differently than any other centralized products. Any questions to these problems, to this problem, before we get to my questions to you guys? Go ahead.
So since the frontend liability will provide the just a centralized point of entry, isn't the fact that anyone could make a front end for it remove that liability, or is that not effective because there is one sort of official front end?
So one reservation from my side, that's a good question. I'm not talking about any specific regulatory regime, right? I'm trying to abstract away certain problems, and all of them I think would be relevant in many jurisdictions around the globe, right? So of course, like answer to this type of question might be different in some places. I'm just talking about a certain practice, right? That very often these protocols have single front ends, right? And of course, this is a very good advice that I'm also giving out sometimes, that you need to like make this difference between protocol layer and front end layer, right? So that you focus your efforts on the protocol layer only. But you know, from the strictly business perspective, it's just difficult, right? It's just difficult to encourage people to build something on their protocol, and it's just difficult to build a business model on your protocol solely, right? So that's why people want to bootstrap this activity, they want to earn money on this, they are building these front ends, right? Which might get them some regulatory troubles. And actually I have a second example, which is not something that like,
so question on that, how do you think about actual traffic? So there might be different front ends, but would the regulators look at that and say 90% of the traffic is going mm-hmm. through a specific one? They want to make the distinction?
Again, it's difficult to answer this question like without any context, right? But I think it's gonna be relevant. Like no matter what's the like the precise legal rule or its interpretation, if that's clear that you know you're providing a certain financial service via this certain front end, and you are like using this like claims about decentralization, smart contract based protocol, some other front ends, this is not gonna work if like functionally and practically this service is mostly available via this single front end, which does not make it different from any centralized services, right? And the second example is about, you've already heard about like the recent FATF AML recommendations. This is a kind of like a global AML regulatory intergovernmental body. They are setting certain standards, and recently they came up with a new recommendation that is very relevant for crypto. And so far, the interpretations, like all of this, is going to be implemented in all of the countries, right? So this is like a international level, let's say. And so far, the interpretations are quite positive, right? So they seem to recognize that if there is a certain service that is decentralized, and especially non-custodial, the AML requirements should not apply, right? But we'll see how this works out in many countries. And I can clearly see that in some places the interpretation might be different, right? So actually something that is providing, you know, even if it's not custodial, but it's providing like virtually the same service as some centralized products, is gonna be subject to AML requirements, which is of course like difficult, right? Because, you know, there's nothing like AML, I'm aware of like AML at the protocol level. You need to apply AML at the front-end level, and then, you know, you end up in a situation in which this protocol is not so relevant anymore because you need a certain front-end operator to use these services. So now, some questions to you guys that I'm really curious about. This is the first one, front-end liability. So the problem that I just presented. Have you considered this problem before, right? So I know that my majority of you are working on DeFi projects, and now the question is, did you consider this when working on your projects? Does it work for everyone, this polling solution?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. All right, that's interesting. So there's some acknowledgement of this problem. It would be great to have some discussion, but let's postpone it until my last question. The second question is, how relevant is this issue for your project, the one you're working on? Is this something you think that it's, you know, you have considered this, but is it relevant for your particular project? That's like, this result is a certain confirmation of the fact that it's, like a large majority is saying, of you saying that it's relevant. It's a certain confirmation that it's a certain problem in the DeFi space right now. That people are actually building these front ends on top of their protocols. And there is a second liability to maybe. Of course, I'm not, you know, this is not to scare you off, right? These problems that they're presenting. These are just issues that I think we should like spread knowledge about them. Also, in order to educate regulators and lawmakers about these problems, right? Because sometimes these people are just not aware that there is this split between sometimes like quite obvious to us, but not to them, this split between protocol and frontend. And now, more general question, how relevant is this for the entire DeFi space, in your opinion? Key question, if everyone's finished with this one, what's the best solution? So initially I was planning this as like myself proposing some solutions to you guys, but I'm very, very curious about your solution. So here we can propose, I think, two solutions and then upvote or downvote solutions provided by some other people. Remember about upvoting and downvoting. This will give us a feeling of what people actually support. Start a new country. That's a cool one, yes. But it's losing. I
wonder why.
All right. So it seems to me, it seems like multiple frontends is the winning option, yet look that like IPFS appears in at least three others, right? So that's certainly a solution that also came to my mind, and it's like people are thinking about this for a long time. Does anyone, any like a proponent of this idea know like what's the state of like actually being able to decentralize both hosting and domains? Is anyone aware of, because like everyone knows that it's possible, right? But I haven't seen anything like that in practice.
I would say the state is that the problem is the DNS end, right? You can use ENS or something, and I think now like MetaMask will handle getting you to that domain. I may be wrong, but the problem is that's not widely supported. So in the end, if you want any body to just be able to access your website, you need something somewhere for basically anyone except the most already technologically committed to be able to do it.
Yeah, because definitely this technological solution to the problem, right? So just like frontends are a problem because they are centralized. So let's decentralize frontends would be probably a very good solution, right? But like the fact that does not exist in practice. At least my conclusion is that it's not ready for like it does not exist, right? It's a cool solution that is not available right now. Multiple frontends, that's a really cool idea that it's like in at least two options as well. It's just like, does anyone want to share experience on that one?
Well, I just have a question regarding that one, and it maybe goes back to like using the Ether Delta as an example. Because I don't exactly see how multiple front end solves the problem. Like, with the Ether Delta case, if I have been the one to implement that front end on their protocol, like, would I have been the one receiving the, you know, SEC prosecution, or is it Ether Delta? If you have multiple front ends, are you just like diversifying the number of people that can end up getting prosecuted?
Yeah, I think that of course it wouldn't be like a super solution. I mean, by doing this, you are just underlining the fact that the front end layer is like separate from the protocol layer, right? So you can like the part of the legal strategy here that I'm seeing from time to time is to say, okay, there might be some regulated activities going on in there, but they are not happening on the front end layer. We are just like providing this information. They are happening on the protocol layer. Try regulate protocols, not the front end operators. This is at the core of this strategy. Does anyone want to like have any experience with this, like building a decentralized product and trying to actually bootstrap multi-frontend support? Because for some reason, it's not happening very often as well, right? Like I already said at the beginning that my feeling is that it's just difficult from the business perspective, right, to encourage people to do this, but if there are some things, good.
Yeah. My experience is talking about regulators, they focus on the spirit of the law. And so if you're enabling people, like that's our issue. So I can't do the ESET, which is just enabling an activity which they deem to be illegal. And so they're going to go after whoever is enabling that. So multiple front ends, from my perspective, doesn't solve anything.
Just to add to that, I think that, yeah, my experience with regulators is similar. But I think that the multiple front ends thing is not really. You can't go to a regulator and say, listen, look, there's another front end, let me off. That's the kind of argument you make to a judge in an extremely legal argument saying, because of this, and it's a little more complicated than that, but because of this technicality, let me off. You won't get the regulator off your back. It won't come for you. It'll come for you.
Yeah, that's true. I think that we need to think about this together with this solution, full decoupled protocol and front end, right? This is like the first step that needs to be done in order to dismantle. Making any sense.
And it's like, in terms of bootstrapping those multiple products, how do you incentivize someone to create a front end, right? Because it feels like it's not clear that just creating a front end on top of this protocol, I'm not actually just shouldering a bunch of that regulatory risk. So like, my incentivization is going to have to be pretty strong to wade into those waters or potentially creating that liability for myself for a protocol that I didn't.
Also, if you don't have some sort of really consistent and sustainable business model, then these projects become harder and harder to be able to properly sustain and expand themselves. Especially with the legal risk associated with most DeFi projects, that gets very expensive very quickly.
Yeah. Yesterday, if you attended the Rune's Maker CEO speech, you could see like his hint at part of our strategy. I mean, like approach or ideal approach, which is regulate on edges, right? And like in the same way as Bitcoin or Ethereum, is like no one is trying to regulate what's happening in these networks. Yet there is certain regulation on edges, such as exchanges, right? This is like a certain strategy that that many people are trying to convince regulators to, so that they like leave this decentralized part like alone and try to regulate all what's around. But of course, it's for them it's difficult to accept something like this, right? To allow that certain regulated activity is just being transferred to some protocol layer. And that's why I think that it's not here on the list, but I could see it on the phone that there was another option, change the law, right? Like no one knows like how exactly, but that's a certain option as well, right? Perhaps this law doesn't work anymore in this context, right? We see this is like for us it's obvious. How can you regulate this thing, right? You can regulate this front end, you can put these guys to jail, but this protocol still exists, right? This is like immutable as the blockchain itself if the contract, smart contract is built in this way. Right, any other comments on some other solutions here? Ah, right, we have this one. Try to influence and change regulation. This one. Yeah.
What do you think about the DAO?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. In practice, is there anyone from Gnosis here? Because in practice, this is being followed by Dev, right? They established this DXDAO, which is governing Dachik's DEX, right? They're trying this out in practice so that this DAO is actually controlling the DEX. I mean, interesting, but like outside of this example, I haven't seen this in practice, right? The question is if you really can have centralized hosting owned by DAO, right? This is still open, right? There is a certain risk that at least some jurisdiction this DAO would be just classified as a certain partnership or association or something, right? Which would not protect its members or whoever from liability. Right, but let's move to other problems, because there are six of them and we are just at number one. So the second one I call decentralization, and the problem is again simple, I think, which is that decentralized financial products are often partially centralized. And this, I think, is quite obvious to many people in this space. There are just examples of these centralization spots. There is also sometimes lack of transparency, right? So that people are actually not aware, or they don't know what's centralized and what's decentralized, right? There is like certain marketing about decentralized financial services, yet when people look closer, sometimes it's just clear that just some parts are decentralized or there are some centralized elements. And I think DEX is the best example of this, right? So that people, for business reasons, are like, you know, incorporating some centralization in their services so that it's more like, you know, it's faster, it's more it's best, better for users, because I don't know, it provides the better service. And this, why is that important? This undermines the core legal claim of many DeFi projects, right? Because many projects like talking about like totally high level legal strategy, they're saying this is completely decentralized, right? I'm not controlling it. So how would I be, like, why would I be responsible for this if I'm not running this? Yet it seems that sometimes there are some operators or people with keys that can do something. And again, example, like Compound was, last month Compound was like, there was a certain spotlight on this project due to there's some centralized features. Which is not necessarily like an accusation or anything against Compound, because they are, at least to my knowledge, they're writing this quite openly in their white paper that it has like this centralized functionalities with like this ultimate goal towards full decentralization, right? But that's the reality of many DeFi projects, right? That they, due to like many reasons, also like lack of, you know, like lack of sufficient development of technology, they're implementing these centralized features, but still this may undermine this legal strategy. So now questions, and this will be the same one. Did you consider this problem before? In the legal terms.
How does it affect you on the legal?
I just explained, decentralization by itself is very often like a legal problem, right? Don't regulate this product, this is decentralized, right? So there's no one to regulate. Yet, in many cases, you actually see that there is someone behind, right? Even, for example, even if like this is non-custodial, there is someone who is controlling price feeds, which effectively gives a lot of control over the product, right?
So they can come for you for using a control.
It just undermines this very claim that there is no one behind it, right? So that it's running on its own, it's like completely decentralized, like a Bitcoin, right? Right. So quite a big awareness of this one. Let's move to the second question, which is, how relevant is this issue for your project? Does anyone want to openly say which project they are representing and why they're choosing one of these options. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm with Topo Finance. We do optimize interest rates across compound, DYDX, and Fulbright. And so I think, you know, from our perspective, one, we're literally launching today, so we're super new. And like, obviously, we've seen generally it's really hard to like launch straight fully decentralized, right? It's more of a process that we work on over time. I think one of the ways that we're thinking about it is like trying to make sure we're decentralized, like in the direct areas, in which case, in which we're like maybe running a little bit into a gray area in terms of regulation, right? So I'd be interested to hear kind of your perspective on that, of like, you know, custodianship, for example. I mean, not totally unrelated to Topo. Custodianship is, you know, an element of centralization, but it's also like you can be compliant with regulation in that capacity. But then like these other elements where you're maybe a little, you know, less compliant with standard regulation, those are the areas that you focus on your decentralization.
Yeah. That's a good point, and that's absolutely true. That, like, again, I'm trying to present like extremely general problems so that they, like, people might think about that, like, no matter from what country they're coming and what they're actually doing. But of course, this is like this highly depends on context, right? So your certain decentralization centralization balance the result might be that you are subject to AML requirements in a certain jurisdictions, but not to security screening requirements, right? That really depends, of course. You need to like very carefully look into like specifics and also specific regulation in a given country in order to come up with like precise answer. Like here, like out of necessity, we need to stay on this high level layer. Okay, next question. How relevant is this issue for the entire DeFi space? Right. Seems like a pretty straightforward answer. Okay. And the last one, solutions. Any ideas of how to... I know that it's extremely general, but at the same time, I see this problem being repeated in many contexts. Any solutions to this one? Does anyone want to say what they understand by gradual decentralization?
I didn't put it, but what I assume they mean is that you either through smart contract upgradability or some proxy contracts you can do, you start out at a point where you are fairly centralized, so you have maybe some oracles or like maybe some databases, maybe some IPFS hashes. And then through multiple stages, multiple sprints, you sort of design the architecture of the application, smart contracts, so you need more and more decentralized. So less reliance on centralized points of data, black boxes, or other oracles. I assume if somebody wants to contradict me.
I just want to add one more thing to that. It's also important to be careful about token allocations and governance, and make sure that over time at least token allocations become more
certainly, if a token is a part of a certain process, certainly that's the case. And I think transparency is a really good point. It's getting a lot of votes as well, right? This is not like a solution per se, but at least, you know, it really delivers a lot of value, you know, towards your users and potential interested regulators as well, so that you're transparent in what you're doing. Right, awareness is possibly about the same. Right, let's move on. So the third problem is about integrative incumbent finance, which is not only a legal problem, I think. but also. So one example is that these are like from the legal and institutional perspective, these are two completely different worlds, right? And one specific example of that is that in DeFi or like blockchain in general, we are mostly talking about bearer assets, right? Like Bitcoin, so that you own the keys, you own the assets, right? And that's all. There is like no custody. There is like no other party here. In traditional finance, this is about almost all about registered assets. So that your asset is actually a claim against someone, and sometimes it's really complicated who this other person is. That is like somehow obligated towards you, right? If you're holding like a stock, like most of the countries in the world, you're actually not like you're not having this, like you're having this claim against the company, but actually there is a certain custodian, there is a certain broker that is actually holding this legal right. And this is just an example, right? We all know that DeFi is mostly about building things that are permissionless. In traditional finance, by their definition, these are permissions options, right? That are based on some trusted parties and essential counterparties. And now, example, at Maker we actually had this discussion in the community recently about MCD and non-trustless or permission, as I call it, assets in MCD, right? How would it play out, and how exactly can we combine like this permissioned nature of many assets with the permissionless nature of the whole product of MCD and the Maker system? And this is, that sounds extremely general, but there are very practical questions about it, right? Like, how do you answer this question? What will happen if certain asset that is held as collateral is frozen, right? Or the forced transfer function is used, right? These are also technical problems, not to mention that they're legal ones, right? Because what does it mean to stop something, and who's holding this asset once it is in a permissionless network? So that's a very specific problem, because that's not necessarily a problem, regulatory problem, right? That, like, as the other ones that we're talking about, that there is a certain risk that us as like DeFi project creators might be held to liability. This is a strictly legal problem that we have, because we somehow want these real world assets to be brought into the DeFi space. Yet we are facing these problems, and this is also not just about assets, but also integrating with the traditional financial infrastructure, right? So, for example, bringing DeFi assets into traditional finance. This is the same problem, right? How to bring permissionless assets into a permissioned environment? There we go with questions. Did you consider this problem? It might not be totally relevant for some projects. For some other, it is extremely relevant. Perfect split. So let's see if you guys think it's relevant for you. Anyone wants to comment on this? This is also a legal problem in a way that this is how regulation is built, right? Like, financial laws are a response to how financial system works, and it works in a permission manner, right? This is perhaps the source of the problem. And how relevant it is for the entire DeFi space? Of course, it depends on the perspective, right? Because if people are thinking about DeFi as like completely alternative towards the traditional financial system, perhaps it's not relevant at all. But those that think about like integration and converging those two areas, it is probably super relevant. Right, so the problem is, let me speed up a bit. solutions. It seems that friendly jurisdictions are getting a lot of votes, both up and down votes. So regulate on the edges, which is a winning option here, is a nice one. Yet it's not a solution in a way that there's not something that we can apply, right? Because we are not regulating. But of course, I mean, one thing that is becoming more and more obvious to me is that we as like the DeFi movement need to like engage in these regulatory discussions. Right now, it seems that certain momentum is building, especially in the stablecoin space with Libra approaching. And we need to build this awareness, right? How DeFi projects are different from all the other that might also function in like crypto space, yet they're completely different. So yeah, so here, I think that the majority of us is saying that change the law, regulate on the edges, which is like convince regulators or lawmakers to regulate on the edges, and sandbox facilities, or convince them to build sandboxes, is the winning option. And that's something I agree with in a way that I think that's what we need to do, right? Just to try to impact how the law is functioning currently. Right, next problem. Which is very simple. DeFi is global, right? This is like by very definition something that people can use like whenever they want, whenever and wherever they want. Yet regulation is local, right? Like you are facing sometimes completely different problems in many jurisdictions. Sometimes not completely different, yet these details are of utmost importance. And I have. Now it's not an example; it's a counter example, because that's what we are pursuing as well. We are facing this problem as well, right? The DAI might be, and right now I'm wearing a lot of maker representative. DAI might be treated in many countries differently, right? As money as a financial instrument, as something else, right? Depending on the local laws. Yet we are trying to do our best, sometimes in regulatory dialogue as well. To protect this free status of digital cash, right? Of like a spot instrument that is not regulated, it's just not a regulated instrument. So far we are doing a good job here, but the problem remains, right? That this product services might be regulated differently, and it's difficult for us to respond to that, right? Because we are building something that is global. Did you consider this problem before? And by the way, this data, I'm going to share it, of course. I hope that this tool is giving the option to save all of this. Of course, all of this is completely anonymous, right? But it's going to be very useful, I think, and interesting to see this disaggregated data and present it to the wider community.
I asked you a question.
Mm-hmm.
So, global compliance sounds like, yes, it might be a problem, but it also sounds like it could be a way to create
mm-hmm.
the solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there could be global standards around globally wild financial
mm-hmm.
things, right? is the do you know the current state of any like global standards around maybe like the most prevalent things?
We're not. We're like a million miles from that.
Yeah, yeah, we figure. Yeah.
Just because there is even just between the United States and China and the European Union and then some other like Southeast Asia, there's just so many widely different ways of run their economies and there is just an entire structure where. We mean YouTube, for example, and Netflix all have to completely map around the way they contribute for modernized media. Even something like blockchain, something like DeFi, it would be an absolute mess for to get them into the same table, let alone agree on a set of financial assets and regulation.
That's true. But actually, I devoted my talk at the DeFi Summit in London last month exactly to the topic, like 30 minutes exactly to that. So I encourage everyone to have a look if you're interested. This is also interesting because sometimes it's just, you know, people are just saying, hey, we are not available or operating in any specific country. We are available globally, but that means that no specific laws apply to us, right? Because we are not present specifically in any country. So that forms some let's say, strategy for some people as well. Right, how relevant is that for your project?
So related to the question of like global compliance standards, mm-hmm. who would be the kind of the multinational regulatory body to watch?
There's nothing like that, but there's something what is called standard setting bodies, which are not necessarily regulators in terms they are not able to adopt binding rules, but they are developing center standards and encouraging others to adopt them. Right?
Is that like IMF?
It's
like PCI standard or something.
FAT is an example,
okay.
Right? FAT
yeah.
In AML space. There's IOSCO in security space, and a few others, right? And they are
like think tanks that are producing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, actual regulators are participating. Countries are participating in these bodies, right?
Yeah.
So they're not like just think tanks. And they are like as an example of FAT shows, they are extremely relevant.
Yeah.
How relevant is it for the entirety of space? Quite a bit. And as I said, this is you know the current stage at least. It's not necessarily like a bad thing, right? Although always. So it's like a certain legal issue, but not necessarily a problem. Right, so what's the best solution? Yeah, that's what I mentioned already, that it's not necessarily a problem, right? And global standards, yes, definitely an interesting one. Yet, they might be, at least in some, like AML, for example, that's something that might be some close to global coordination. That's happening already. Some other things like secrets regulation, this is gonna be probably impossible to get coordination. One interesting example is the approach to stablecoins with Libra approaching and all of this, you know, mass to people from like central bankers from various countries saying that they're not gonna allow this. This will be a very interesting test for international coordination. Are all of the major economies actually able to coordinate on this matter?
I'm the one that said it's not a problem, mm-hmm. it's an opportunity. I find it interesting that the top two options are literally opposite of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think people underestimate how difficult it is if you have global standards that you don't like. You basically start having to go, I won't say underground, but you start having to play in the spaces between the regulation. FIFO is implemented a bit differently here, it's done a bit differently mm-hmm. here. And that sort of thing is great for lawyers, but not for people who want to build projects.
And you know, these standards exist, like these laws are more or less similar in many countries because the policy concerns are the same or almost identical, right? So there are certain standards. The question is if these are not details which are problematic here, right?
When you come from a country that has like bad regulation, mm-hmm. pretty much you don't care about
like for example,
yeah.
for example?
On Honduras, mm-hmm. you have like a lot of problems and corruption, you know what I mean? So pretty much just don't care. So it's better just to disrupt. So that's the thing that it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Disrupt this.
Is there a difference between global standards of regulation and global standards of definition about various things, like maybe like for example definition of dye. Mm-hmm. Is dye a bearer asset, is it not? Is dye a security, is it not? Mm-hmm. Is there like I don't know the how the legal world works with definitions versus mm-hmm. regulations.
No, that's more or less the same answer.
Well,
right? Like for AML regulation for AML for the purpose of AML work at FAT, it was like extremely relevant how virtual currency is defined, right?
Yeah.
That was like one of the core problems. Right, let's run this really quickly. Developer liability. I'm not sure if that requires any explanation here. Just one example, because there was like a lot of like theoretical thoughts about this, but one example, AML laws are being implemented by many countries in Europe right now. And this is something that the UK government like proposed. Like they asked the question, would it make sense to apply this regulation to people that are dealing with the publication of open source software, which includes but is not limited to non-custodian wallet software and other types of crypto-related software, right? So this would be not just banks or crypto exchanges that would be subject to this type of regulation, but also open source devs. Did you consider this problem before? All right, that's actually quite surprising. I thought it would be close to 100% yes. But let's move on. How relevant is this issue for your project? I mean, it's of course difficult to say, right? If you're not a lawyer. But just your feeling about this. People are afraid to answer, not relevant, right? And how relevant it is for the entire DeFi space. The reason, again, is that you know, if you have like decentralized financial services and regulators are looking for something that is called access points, you know, you may want to address users, miners, but developers, like people that are actually doing this shit, and not only developing protocols but also front ends, seem like an oversight.
But from the regulatory cost point of view, do you think regulators will run after these developers because that includes a huge amount of cost for the mm-hmm. regulators?
Yeah. I mean, again, this is like a general problem that might materialize in some specific context, right? Of course, I do not foresee this world in which developers would need to go underground because there would be like huge regulatory enforcement action at all of you guys, right? But in some context, that might be relevant, like I showed with this AML laws, right? It's enough if there is like this small detail that would really make a difference, like, right? Right. Solutions? Actually, I think that here the best solution would be to But they wait until the arrest. And then there was deaths, dark deaths. You know, it's not that sometimes we may think that it's like without any sense at all, right? But, you know, imagine like a dev that is just developing a Ponzi scheme, like with full knowledge that it's going to serve this purpose with deploying the code and promoting the code, right? That's non-obvious, right? Whether we might want to go after this guy or not. There is a certain rationale for doing this, right? We're fine.
But what is the definition of a developer over here? If it's an open source and everybody can contribute,
yeah,
so it's a community of
people. That's true.
Right?
Yes, that's true. Right, okay, so we are really running out of time. So let's quickly go through the last piece, which is just like pure legal barriers, right? So some cases in which you might want to do something that is, like do this legally, you just can't. And two examples, the first one, it's just, in the EU, it's just impossible to beat a regulated text right now. Due to some legal requirements, this is like a precise provision. We don't have time to elaborate on this. And this, and I'm gonna say it, because I avoided it at all costs to just mention this. But this is another problem, right? It actually stops a lot of blockchain projects because people don't know how to deal with this, right? So, last series of questions. Legal barriers, so, you know, like, you know, laws that are just not responding well to these new products. Which does not mean that, you know, sometimes the fact that they are not covering something explicitly is not a problem, it's rather an opportunity, but sometimes they are stopping people from doing things legally. Not sure how many answers does it have, but it seems like. How relevant is this for your project? Right. Sometimes people overestimate this because they have a certain bad feelings about the law in general. But this is a real problem, very often. How is this relevant for the whole DeFi space? And solutions. It seems that this one actually had this one actually had like a very simple solution, right? Just change the law, just make these people that are responsible for this aware of these problems, which is possibly the best result. It's sometimes the question is if we want to do that, right? Especially those people that have this mindset of building something that is completely alternative. You know, they just don't want to make people aware as regulators, right? Because they think that it's going to bring some problems, and it's a valid point. Cool. So there is a winning option. All right. So we are radically late. I think that time up. This is the guard. So thank you very much. I'm gonna use this data. Hopefully on DeFi dump law blog and present these ideas, and I hope, like I really hope that this will be just like the initial discussion about general problems, and we'll get into specifics as a community, right? Because we really need to share these problems common problems as we can see as projects and think about solutions that would apply to everyone.
Can you just mention the left two ones just to begin research on? There were eight, right? Eight problems.
No, six.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that was my mistake. I said eight. These were six problems, so that's actually the variant. Thanks.